Psalm 65 reads, "Snow crown the peaks with splendor, scatter rose petals down your path, all through the wild meadows, rose petals." A good friend of mine of many years out in Colorado has a rose bush that grows just outside his front door. Now, he had never pruned that rose bush, and he became very proud of its size because it was humongous. The earth underneath it was covered with leaves that prevented the sun from reaching the roots of the rose bush. And even though it dwarfed the front window, there was something sad about that rose bush, too. You see, it didn't produce many roses, and those that did bloom were small and lacked color. In contrast to the words of Psalm 65, there were very few rose petals on the path to his front door in those days. Now, this rose bush was big. It was 15 feet across, and it had these really long shoots that span out, you know, the kind that I mean. We call them sucker branches, where they don't have any blossoms on them. They just come out from the rose bush. And those branches spanned at least a third of the walkway to his front door. And as the years went by, my friend's rose bush grew fewer and fewer roses. But this rose bush did produce something in painful abundance. Can you tell me what it? Thorns, that's right. It produced thousands of thorns, and they were huge. They were a quarter of an inch at least across at the base and half an inch long with that little tiny barb at the end of those thorns. And when you walked up to his front door, inevitably you were caught by those thorns. It snagged your scarf or your hat or your hair or your sweater. These thorns were amazing on this rose bush. And when you came to visit and you walked up his sidewalk to get to the front door, you had to take one of those long branches and lift it up so you could walk by and make it into the house. It was so out of control that you suffered the pain of its barbs every time you went to the front door without any beauty of the blossoms. So one year while I was visiting, my friend commented that his parents were coming over later that summer from the UK for a visit. And to make things ready and worthy of his parents, my friend asked if I would help him trim and weed his yard. While he worked in the backyard, I stayed in the front, trimming and weeding along the driveway and the path to his front door. As I finished the yard, I contemplated the big old sad rose bush that had thousands of thorns, and even then, in the height of summer, only one or two roses. Today is the day, I thought. I am going to trim this bush back so it doesn't hurt his mother as she comes up the walkway. Wearing thick gloves so I wouldn't get hurt on the thorns, I trimmed and cut branches back until the bush was about 3 feet tall and 3 feet across. I raked away the debris and the dead leaves at the root of the bush, and as I stood back, I could see the rich, dark earth at its roots without feeling the pain of its thorns. I must have filled several of those paper lawn bags with cuttings and dead leaves and dead branches. Eventually, my friend came out to check on my progress. As he stepped out the front door, he stopped dead in his tracks at the remnant of his rose bush. I thought, gee, maybe I went too far with the cutting back of the branches, and maybe I should have left it a little bigger. Maybe I cut too much off. And he said, "What did you do to my rose bush?" "I trimmed it," I said brightly with a shaking note of confidence. And with his typical British dry wit, he said, "I can see that." 1 year later, as I went home for another visit, I stopped by to visit my friend. Walking up the driveway, I was taken by the fragrance of roses. As I rounded the corner to the front of his door and his path, I was stunned to see the glory of that rose bush. There were literally so many fragrant and beautiful roses that you couldn't count them. They were in such abundance that they weighed down the branches. As he came to the door, I silently pointed to the rose bush in open-mouthed wonder, which doesn't happen very often. "I can't believe it either," he said. "I thought you'd killed it. But it's never looked this beautiful before, and I've never seen so many roses." Did you know that in biblical times, rose bushes grew in many places in the Holy Land? Four species of the genus Rosa are native to Israel. One grows on Mount Hermon, another on Mount Sinai. Of the other two species, Rosa canina grows in many countries, and Rosa phoenicia grows near rivers and streams throughout the Mediterranean lands. Roses grew wild around Jerusalem and Jericho and were cultivated in gardens for their beauty and scent and for culinary purposes. Rose hip tea and jam are still popular in the Middle East, and rose water was and is still among the world's most treasured perfumes. Jesus probably walked among rose bushes as he taught and prayed, and to this day you can find many a rose bush in meditation gardens and retreat centers. We even have rose bushes in our memorial garden, which is on the other side of the walkway here where the stained glass windows are, and there's a rose bush that sits on either side of a meditation bench. Now, Advent is the season for pruning, when we are called to look within ourselves and clear the behaviors that block the path to wholeness and peace. It is a time of preparation, when we are asked to seek out and prune away the thorns and the barbs we have allowed to grow in our lives that cover the path to a new life in Jesus Christ. As you and I continue to walk into Advent, let's put on our work gloves and prune out the overgrowth of unkind and self-centered behaviors that inhibit the path to fragrant and healthy relationships with God and one another. Let's take a look at those things that are inhibiting the sun from reaching out and shining upon and through us, and work to rake them away. As guests come to walk upon our paths, let us be fragrant with the forgiveness and love, leaving others to wonder at the fragrance of God's grace that is within us. Because the kingdom of God is like that rose bush after the overgrowth was trimmed away. Heavy with the fragrant knowledge of the Lord, its beauty is a sign to all people of the power of belonging to a community that works to feed the hungry, house the homeless, and bring comfort to the lost. Yesterday, we had many of our members who were volunteering down at the Spirit of Hope Soup Kitchen. That's the fragrant glory of the Lord. We are a community that are called to defend the cause of the poor, live in harmony with one another, and in accordance with the teachings of Jesus the Christ, not only have life, but have life in abundance. And just as my friend was getting ready for a visitor, we too have an important guest coming to visit. Take some time to clear the path to your heart so that your life may bloom with the fragrance of Christ. And may all God's people say, Amen.